Right, folks, welcome back to Straight Talk. I'm your host, Chase Robertson. Of course, the beautiful Peggy talking live in the studio this morning. Charles Sizemore, the great one. Charles in charge. Good to have him back. Anyway, we've been joking. It's going to be a lighthearted show today, folks. But we are going to talk about Charles's portfolio and some reallocations that he's recently made. And I forgot to note, if you're a parent this morning, I'm sure you've enjoyed the extended commute as people go back to school. I know many have, and the traffic patterns have changed significantly here in Houston. So,
because there weren't nearly enough cars on the road before.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, it's hard to get here because the two major arteries coming from I-10, you pass private schools where the police stop all traffic to let those private school parents in. So
they also roll out a red carpet.
Yeah, they do. Duchenne. Anyway, Charles, why don't we discuss some of the changes you made in your portfolio? I know a lot of listeners are in your vertical, and I think they'd like to get an update. That'd be good.
Yeah, so I made a few changes. I had bought GameStop a few months ago, and my thesis on that was pretty straightforward. It was a beaten-up retailer that mm-hmm. paid a great dividend. Sure. They were able to cover that dividend, no problem. And the company actually threw off a decent bit of free cash flow. You know, the impetus that was supposed to send it higher was, you know, Nintendo is back with a vengeance. They have that new Switch game console.
Sure.
There's just a lot more interest in video games. All that sounded great, and the stock has just failed to respond. It's gone mostly sideways since I had bought it. And we collected the dividend along the way. So, you know, most of my investors either made a little bit of money or, you know, broke even. I mean, depending on when someone bought in, they might have lost a smidgen. But, you know, it was, you know, basically a flat trade. Mm-hmm. I just decided, look, it's not doing what I expected it to do. It's not responding to the stimulus I thought it would respond to. It's clearly something's not working here. That retail trade is still, I think it might be too early to go dipping into retail stocks.
Sure.
They're still just, I mean, there's some great bargains in the retail sector. I mean, I'm a value guy. I see value there. But you don't want to buy too early. When you buy too early, you're catching that falling knife, and that hurts. Don't do that. So I ended up selling GameStop. Now, another stock that I've held for a while now was Prospect Capital. Prospect Capital was one that when I originally bought it, it was trading at a very deep discount to book value. I mean, you could buy this thing for basically 85 cents on the dollar. I mean, if you had infinitely deep pockets, you could buy this thing for 85 cents on the dollar.
Sure.
Liquidate the company and walk away with a 15% profit while collecting the dividend along the way. I mean, it was just dirt cheap. Well, it's still relatively cheap. I mean, it's traded in a range, but they haven't been able to cover their dividend for the last, you know, couple quarters here. They've continued to pay the dividend, but they're not really covering it from current cash flow. And so I think it's looking more and more likely like they are going to have to cut that dividend. And one of the worst pieces of advice I've ever heard in my life was, well, this stock's getting beat up because the street thinks it's going to cut its dividend. But as soon as they cut that dividend, the stock's going to rise again because, you know, then investors will be relieved. And that's never happened. I mean, I actually, this is an open invitation to listeners. If you can think of a single case when a company cut its dividend and the stock price rallied, please let me know, because I can't think of a single example.
I can't think of one either.
Now, Prospect Capital, though, that's a stock I probably will come back to. If they cut that dividend and the stock takes a beating, and you know it slides, I probably would re-enter it, because if they cut the dividend enough, that new dividend will be safe, and that discount to book value is going to be even, you know, wider than before. I mean, if you're able to buy, and most of their assets are very high quality, so, you know, or at least, you know, solid quality, you're not worried about default. So if you're buying a stock with, you know, let's say its price to book value falls to, you know, 70 cents on the dollar, 80 cents on the dollar, that's a steal. So that's one that's back. It's on my watch list. I'm keeping an eye on it, but I'm out of it for now. And then finally, Main Street Capital. It's a great stock, actually. Main Street Capital is I think, one that you can buy and hold basically forever. I think it's just going to continue to pay that dividend from now until the end of time.
Yep.
It's just a little bit pricey right now, and I don't see a lot of near-term upsides. What I basically got out of it for now, thinking, look, I wanted to raise a little bit of cash. Wanted to have a little bit more dry powder than usual. This seemed like a pretty sensible stock to sell for now. I can always get back in later. I don't expect a huge move in the next 2 months. So if I give up, you know, 2-3% upside from here over the next 2 months, that's okay. I can always re-enter it. So, you know, made those three moves.
That's a Dave Dyer pick right there.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it's a Dave Dyer pick.
He owns it.
Yeah.
No, it's
and a
good long-term
holding.
I own Maine.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good, I mean, I'm going to be very clear. It's a great stock, and it's one that I've recommended in the past. I think it's a great company, but I just don't see a lot of short-term upside. And
sure.
I figure if I'm going to kind of keep my powder dry in case we do get a dip or anything, that was a sensible stock to unload for the time being.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. The dividends, almost 6%, but I can see. I don't see a lot of upside in that either.
Well, one of the things Main Street does though that I really like, they're never going to. Well, never, knock on wood, but you know they're highly unlikely to ever cut their dividend. Because they have a dividend policy that's almost it's not completely unique, but it's rare among business development companies. They keep their regular monthly dividend fairly low, but then they top that up twice a year with special dividends, depending on what profitability is. So yeah, they kind of keep that baseline dividend well within their current cash flow, so that there's never. Or, you know, very unlikely to be a possibility of a cut. Mm-hmm. But then when they exceed it, you know, when they do better than that, they reward their shareholders with special dividends. And so I like that. It adds a variable component. They're taking care of their shareholders, but they're not setting themselves up for failure if, you know, in a low yield environment they're not able to keep that dividend high.
I have this long term dream of Apple doing a special dividend with its quarter of a trillion bucks it has on its balance sheet.
Well, you know, if we ever get corporate tax reform, and I'm not holding my breath, but yeah, you know, that was one of the things that we were supposed to get with Republican control of the White House and Congress. Mm-hmm. And instead, I don't know what these people do with their day jobs, but we have yet to get corporate tax reform. But should we get corporate tax reform, and part of that is just lowering corporate income tax and perhaps even having a tax holiday for overseas holdings.
Sure.
I would be shocked if Apple didn't do a special dividend.
Why? What is it going to do with that kind of cash?
I mean, you could pretty well buy multiple countries with it. Not that would be in Apple's best interest. But, I mean, what they should do is, it doesn't make sense to bring it home now. Why would you pay 35% taxes on it? That's, you know, you're giving your investors 65 cents on the dollar at that point. That's not good. But if they can, you know, if they can have a tax holiday or a lower tax rate, then yeah, I mean, they should buy back stock, and they should do a special dividend.
I agree. That's exciting. That's why I'll always own Apple. Just to see if just have a card on the table. Peggy, you know, we were joking last week, but did anybody win the Powerball?
As a matter of fact, no. It's going to be $650 million on Wednesday night.
Wow.
And I don't know how many. I'm sure everybody out there was in at least bought a ticket or was in an office pool.
Yeah.
And we did an office pool. I haven't even checked them yet. We may be sitting on some money, but we didn't win the big one. But if you had won the big one, the 400 and something million, mm-hmm. 109 million of it, I think the government was going to take right off the bat.
No, probably more than that.
And then if you lived somewhere. Where there was a state income tax, figure out another, you know,
shave off another 5 to 10.
Another 30, could be 30, depending on what,
you know. Yeah, you're basically cut in half.
Yeah.
If you're in New York.
If you're in New York,
you're in
exactly.
You're cut in half.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
so
I could get by on $300 million, though. I mean,
for $600 million, I may mosey out of my debt, my office, and go buy a ticket. So.
Well, anyway, when we come back, folks, we're going to have the opening bells. Let's see how the market opens on this eclipse day. And we'll have more on the financial news of the day. Peggy Tuck, Chase Robertson, Charles Sizemore. You too can join us at 844-305-7800 or go to straighttalkmoney.com and send us your comment. We'll be back after these important messages.